If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to yet another exciting episode of Talk at Moments. Today, I have, at some point, we're like yin yang, but I don't know why that word just stuck in my brain or just got stuck in my brain. Choma is in the building today.
Hey.
My travel buddy. Hi, boo. How are you?
Hi.
I'm sure a lot of people have been waiting for this particular episode because every time, I think the first time we were in Paris together, mm-hmm. we got loads of, oh, this is a combination that I didn't think I needed mm-hmm. or whatever. I saw a couple of those comments mm-hmm. here and there. And I thought people actually do not know how far or how way.
Literally. Was it Lushmore?
You know what? I was actually trying to remember how I met you. Was it Good Hair Space or before Good Hair?
It was obviously Good Hair had been there, but I feel like the old space in Lushmore.
Of course, that old space. I'd been several times. And
or was it prior to that?
I think it was prior to that. I think I met you. I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
But I know that there was a time that we used to see each other almost every single day.
Literally.
And you were always trying to teach me how to lay my hair down.
Mm-hmm.
I was so terrible. And then Lushmore opened. I remember the very
first time,
the Good Hair Space mm-hmm. at Lushmore. I remember the place. I'm having like, you know, memories.
Do you remember the old space where like you were coming to the office, like our small office and to do your hair?
Yeah, I remember to do my hair. Mm-hmm. And then every birthday mm-hmm. of mine, you and Kika would actually be my official hairstylist.
Literally.
Do you remember when I met Kika in London?
In London, yeah.
Yes.
I think you had something with Florence.
I think it was my book launch.
Yeah.
And that was the first time Kika came to style my hair. Yeah, because you linked us up together.
Yeah,
and I remember, you know, saying, oh, what are you doing later on? And this is one thing that I picked up from Kika. Like, Kika is not the kind of person that will hang out with other people's friends because she gave me that vibe of your Choma's friend. And I thought, I was doing this one. And then we all just laughed it off. But I remember, you know, back when.
Yeah.
That's the word. We've come way back. How are you?
Not bad, tired,
welcome
stressed.
To the podcast.
I can't, but how's this going to work? How can your friend interview you? Is that a thing?
It's happened a couple of times.
So you know, don't ask me rubbish.
I do, you're going to have to answer because, you know, I mean, what's the worst that can happen, girl? Like,
okay, I'll just say no comment.
No, you're not allowed to say no comment.
No, you know my secrets and then asking me.
No, I'm not going to ask, maybe. Be nice to me. If you're not nice to me, guess what?
Okay.
I'm going to ask you everything.
I'll tell.
And we'll talk about it. But how are you? So what's stressing you out?
Just work. I feel like I'm doing so much at the moment. Like Choma's Closet, the foundation.
Yeah.
Still have to ensure that Good Hair's going. We're renovating Brass and Copper.
Yeah. Oh my God, I know it caught fire was it this year?
This year.
Oh wow. Where were you when you got the phone call that, you know, the building was open?
I think I was at home.
Okay.
And then they called me. I think it was the manager of Good Hair that actually called me. She's like, madam, fire. I was like, what? She's like, fire, come now. I said, where, who?
Those
like,
calls we never want to have.
Your heart, it's like, do you understand? Your heart stops beating.
Yeah.
I was panicking. I was like, where, what? She was like, Brass and Copper. I was like, oh my God. I quickly ran. I hadn't even showered, got in the car, was speeding. Brasson Copper is literally, I mean, I live in Ikoyi, you just cross the bridge. Brasson Copper is not far from the Lekki Bridge. It's usually like an 8 minute drive. Mm.
That was the longest.
It felt like 7 hours. For like 8 hours. It's the longest 8 minutes of my life.
Wow.
I was just praying, God, let it not be too bad. Like our sweat, our blood, sweat and tears. I remember them times, me and Kika, like Kika was in London when we were building the Good Hair Space. I remember one day I was on the floor in my closet. I was just crying. I called her. I was like, Kika, this is the first time we're going to fail. She was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, I can't do it. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
We had like 3 months to get the entire Good Hair Space ready. Mm. And it just, you know how workers in Nigeria are, you know, this is supposed to be white. You've come, it's blue. Mm. Why is it blue? Mm. Madam, sorry. I don't understand. It's not about sorry, the money, everything, the time. So everything was going wrong. And I was like, there's no way we can finish by December. And I was crying because I just didn't know where to start from. And she was like, Choma, calm down, stop crying. It will be okay. The next evening, she was in Lagos. Literally, she jumped on a flight, came, held my hand through it all, and we did it together.
That's amazing.
It was stressful, it was tiring, exhausting, but we did it.
Mm.
So to go through all of that, and you're now telling me this place is on fire, what fire? It's okay, it wasn't funny.
You guys have always had this dynamic between the both of you. You know, everyone's always, it's always been Kika and Choma, like the good hair girls. That was what you guys were known as at first. And it's like, okay, these two business partners. And I know how crazy it is starting a business with a friend. How have you guys been able to keep that together? Because I have launched businesses with friends and we don't talk no more, girl. We don't talk no more. Some which you, I mean, the one major one which you know about. How has it been? How have you guys been able to just still remain best friends?
I always,
even when you guys have your other friends and you guys are working together.
Yeah, right. I don't know, like, honestly, I feel like it's God, first things first. God has just made it so smooth for both of us to maintain like our businesses and our friendship. Because I feel like most times women in business, something must give either the business or the friendship. Mm. You know, one will scatter. Mm. But with us, like it's been super smooth sailing. No issues. We don't argue. I feel like we understand each other. And I feel like in our businesses or like as individuals, even though we're so similar, we have different strengths and weaknesses when it comes to business.
Mm.
So nothing ever really overlaps the other. You know, the things that I'm really good at, you know, I'm more into like, okay, the books, the financing, the this, the that. Do you understand? Kika's very good at advertising. Kika puts, I don't know, she put this the cover of this bottle on her head and say, buy it. People will buy it, you know. So the marketing plus the, you know, the PR technicals coming together.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. It's a synergy that works. Mm. I feel like if we were so similar in certain areas, maybe we would clash because, you know, each person wants their own voice to be heard. But I respect what she's good at. She respects what I'm good at. And we try not to interfere consciously. So the things that Kika feels strongly about, I let her decide those things. And what I feel strongly about, she allows me to decide.
Mm.
So having that understanding and...
How do you guys resolve conflict? Because I'm sure there are moments where you guys have conflict.
Honestly, we hardly have conflicts.
Really?
I know people think that it's a lie. But we just don't. Like, you know when you... It's like you have a sibling that you just understand, you know? Like, I know... Kika knows my weaknesses. I know her weaknesses. We understand each other. So there isn't really need for conflict. And if anything... I don't know if we ever had like a minor disagreement, which is barely ever. I could probably think of maybe one or two times. We sit down and we talk, you know. I know when we opened Brass and Copper, because me and Kika had been partners our whole lives, what it feels like.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with Brass and Copper, we have other partners. And it's like, okay, it's like, what's going on? What's going on? You know, the one time it was like, what's going on? What's going on? I went to London, we sat down over drinks, discussed it, resolved it. And that was it. Do you know
That's
what I mean?
Amazing.
So
yeah,
no issues. It's just literally like,
because I mean, it's important for us to talk about that. Because I feel like a lot of people have this thing where they say they can either be lucky in friendships or either be lucky in business, and they can't have both, you know what I mean, with the same people. And it's interesting to hear you literally talk about how you guys just resolve it, and then that's that.
It's really amazing, friendship and business, because what happens is like your income matches, you can go on holidays together. You could do this, you could do that, because you know how it is that when you have a friend that is a bit, do you understand, isn't in your income bracket. I don't want to say broke, but isn't in your income bracket. It makes it a bit more difficult, you know.
You know that popular saying that, I watched it, if there are five losers, the sixth one is also, like basically you are your net worth, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm also thankful that, you know, we can easily say to ourselves, let's jump on a plane.
Paris was, I don't know how many hours before the flight.
And it's not like, sis, I have to. Because I feel like when things are like that, as you said, there's no need for there to be any competitiveness.
No.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We can do things. And yeah. It's amazing. When do you think you became so business savvy?
All my life. Mm-hmm. I feel like just watching my aunties, you know, my parents, it's always been about business. You know, even my dad's sisters. My dad has five strong, like they're so strong, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like they all had 9-to-5s. Half of them were either doctors or into oil and gas, but they all had their side hustles, you know. Wow. Like everything they did it with strength, and they were all socialized at the same time, fashionable. So everything about them was A-star. So it's what I knew. It's all I understood, you know, with women. So for me, like it was a no-brainer. It came natural to me. And in university, even though Good Hair started, I think it was my second year of uni, and that was like our first like proper entrepreneurship journey. Prior to that, I used to organize parties.
Really? Wait, do you remember my 32nd birthday? Do you remember the one we had at the spa place in Ikoyi?
Mm-hmm.
The one that wore the barman dress mm-hmm. one. You guys need to start my hair.
Yeah, you
brought like the cops.
You brought
the lights. Do you remember that? And it was one thing you were supposed to do, which was my hair. And you came with like customized. You know, I've never really said this to you, but I remember how you've always been a friend.
Yeah.
You've always literally been the person who cheers for me the most. I can't even explain it. I can just say to Choma, I need you to do my hair. Please come and help me with my hair. And she's like, I've got it. And Choma is going to see Ankika. We'll roll up with cups, party cups, things to wear on your hands to make the band. I'm like, I didn't think about that, but it totally worked. Yeah. And you've always been extra.
Literally.
Choma is not the friend. If I want to get something conservative, I can never call her. No, where's the fridge? You have to add the juice. But I just remembered that birthday, actually. Yeah. Do you remember? With the gold.
I remember at the spa.
Yeah, the clarifiers. And you came. And then, wow. That was actually the year I launched the TM Luxury bags as well.
Okay.
I mean,
That's been a while.
Wow. And then we always used to go to like fashion shows together. Mm-hmm. Do you remember like the GT fashion show? I remember one particular one because it was like the after party on Sunday, and the VIP thing was upstairs, and you and I, while the show was going on, we decided to sneak to go and have drinks upstairs.
Do
you
remember?
Of course, we've had so many memories. I think you moved to Nigeria, and I remember those days you used to complain so much about Nigeria. How have you been able to
I still hate it. Like, I haven't adjusted.
If you see me, Choma can rant about this country.
But the only thing I have to say, Nigeria is the only country that you can go from being a broke ass to a billionaire the next day.
I agree.
It's the only country. That's why I'm here, because the opportunities are endless. It's virgin territory. Yeah. So literally any form of value that you have to add will literally get blown out of proportion and you'll make it.
And now you're a reality TV show TV star. How did that happen? Because if you asked me 5 years ago,
even 2 years ago, would you have ever thought that I would
that you would
literally
like
venture into that?
You do reality TV show? No. So what made you do it?
Even I couldn't have seen it. Even when
you're killing it on it.
Well, we thank God.
Well done.
It's tough though. God. In fact, it's more than tough.
What is the hardest? I mean, let's talk about how you even decided to do it. Because as you said, 2 years ago, I would never have thought, like, if you had the opportunity to do a reality TV show of any kind, I would not have thought you'd be the girl that would be up for it. So what changed?
I mean, it didn't change. The day that they approached me, I still was like, are you sure you're in the right place? Speaking to the right person, why would you think that I would be interested?
Yeah.
And I was like, plus, I'm not a housewife anymore. I'm not married. Did you guys not get the memo? Like, I'm not. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, no, you don't have to be married. Yeah.
Did you not watch any of the franchise?
No, I only saw Atlanta the first season, which was about like 20 years ago. And I probably saw like 3 episodes and that's it. I don't enjoy reality TV.
How are you going to get an issue? I don't watch
it. I just ask them when I watch it. It's like punishment. They're like, madam, you need to watch the next episode. I'm like, is it out? Okay. And I sit down. I'm just there like.
So you went in blind?
Completely. Blind in the sense that, first of all, we didn't know who else was going to be on the show because they wouldn't tell us. They were like, they wanted our reactions to be natural when we saw the other cast members. I think I was pretty shocked. If you remember season one, when I saw it, I probably was mute for the first 3 episodes because I was in shock, number one. Also, I didn't really have a formula. Yeah. You know, I feel like some of the other ladies had like binge watched a lot of the seasons of other franchises. So they were ready, or they had like a persona that they wanted to put up or whatever. And I just literally went there be myself, like completely, sometimes even too honest, you know.
So did you feel like when they told you the format of the show, did you think that you were going to be in the company of what you're used to.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. I could tell that maybe that's what made you sign up for it.
100%.
Yeah.
I was definitely given that impression. I was like, what kind of, they were like like-minded people that you know, people that are already your friends. And it was a complete opposite. So I was like, oh my God, you know, and it was like, I almost felt like I got thrown in the deep end and I needed to now be forced to interact with these people and pretend like they've been my friends for so long. And I was just like, how am I supposed to do this? You know? So it was really tough. I won't lie, the first time we filmed, I ran, because we filmed at Boston Copper, I ran into Good Hair and I was like, can you call me like the producers and stuff? And I was like, guys, I can't do this. I said, I don't know anybody here. I feel so uncomfortable. I feel like a fish out of water. I cannot do the show. And they were like, oh, but you've already signed a contract. You know, you have to, and you, I'm a lawyer, so I respect contracts and stuff. And I was like, okay, fine. They were like, don't worry, we'll get better. We'll bring more people like yourself. I was like, okay, cool. You know, and yeah, so that's kind of like how I continued. And I survived. I mean, I'm still here.
Yeah. Do you feel like the show has taught you? Because you know, people always say reality TV show is different from like real life. Do you believe that? Or do you feel like you get to learn lessons about real life and characters and people and upbringing and just, you know?
So yeah, because it forces you to interact with people out of your comfort space. So if I've grown up only around a certain type of people, that's all I know. I haven't really been exposed.
Do you know what leaves rent-free in my head? Your dog's eating sushi, which I roasted you for when I reviewed the show, because I was like, girl, you really sent them sushi? Are you crazy?
That's how they move. That's what they like. My dogs behave like me, so whatever I like, they like. What I eat, I give them.
This
so that's what they used to.
Moment for just putting it on the show. But I was like, only Choma will actually sit on TV and say she's ordering sushi for her dogs. Yeah. I thought I was bad. And then I watched it and I was just like, wow. Okay.
That's how they roll. But yeah, like, so I think just being around people that are not, you know, I wouldn't necessarily have been around. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult. It really was.
Did you have any, at any point, feel like, I respect contracts, I'm a lawyer, but I'm just going to stop showing up to film?
I'm also a finisher. I never start something that I won't finish. Once I start it, I have to get to the end of it. You know, it's just a thing about me. So, and I like a good challenge. And so even though I felt uncomfortable initially, I was like, you know what, let me see how this goes. Let me challenge myself and let me see if I can actually do this. And eventually I started to open up myself a little bit more, started to, you know, get to know the ladies a bit more and just be a bit more, you know, involved. And it wasn't so bad. I mean, I've made a really good friend from the show, Iyabo.
Yeah,
who would have ever
that.
Thought that myself and Iyabo would have, you know, bonded the way that we have.
And you guys are friends off the show? Because what completely. I find happens in this dynamic is a lot of times, even when they say you're introducing somebody, that person's not really your friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for the camera, but it's just to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
But you and Iyabo seem to have really, really sort of like hit off a friendship. Because I know you guys see yourselves even when you're not filming. Sometimes she's over at yours, sometimes you're over at hers. How did that even begin?
I'll tell you the honest truth about that situation, how it really happened. So that day, obviously, I was getting my hair done at Good Hair whilst they were setting up at Brass & Copper. Good Hair and Brass & Copper are in the same building, you know. And some of my staff, they were like, madam, this show that you said you're doing, you can't do this show. And I was like, why? What's the problem? They were like, the people on this show, madam, you can't do it. And I said, why? They were like, yeah, we're just on the show. I said, who's that? They were like, she's very controversial. You know, madam, no. These people, she's too controversial. I said, well, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
So I went like, my heart started beating. I said, God, who's this person that they said is so controversial and I won't be able to stand, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I go upstairs, you know, I think it was her and Toyin having lunch at Brass & Copper. And I didn't know how to explain it. Like, her eyes were warm. Do you understand? Yeah. You know how you could look at somebody and you just see kindness?
Yeah.
And everything about her was kind. The way she spoke to me, her spirit, her aura, it was just so welcoming. It felt like a big sister automatically, you know? And so when we started to speak and interact, nothing negative, just pure, like, you know, when you connect with somebody, like, on the spot. So when I got downstairs, I said, well, what's wrong with you people? There's nothing wrong with her. They were like, madam, you don't know anything. You will see.
Because every time you see her bonnet, you know it's about to go down.
Do you understand? I think that black bonnet really deceives people. So people think that she's like controversial, like cantankerous. Yeah. And she really isn't. She's the entire opposite. In fact, funny enough, I tell her and Kika, I'm like, you guys remind me of each other because they're just people that like, they don't pretend. They speak their mind. Like you said, she was like, she called me. She's like, Choma, talk as I should come. I'm not hanging out. That's your friend, dude. Do you understand? For her, like, she'll want me to be there and be like, oh, no, it's fine. You know, they're loyal to the core. They're honest with their feelings. And that's how Iyabo is.
Do you think it's because you're that kind of a person? Do you think that you're a loyal person?
Huh?
Do you think you're a loyal person?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm a very loyal person. So I'm very close to people that are loyal. If you're not loyal, I cannot be close to you because I know what I do for my friends. So I expect the same, you know, vice versa. So with Iyabo, like seeing those traits that, you know, mirrored mine, I was like, she's actually not bad. And I remember speaking to my mom that night and I was like, oh, I just met this lady. And I was like, somehow I feel like I'm really going to like her. This was day one. I didn't know anything about her. You know, and then of course I went on Instagram, looked at her, and I was like, okay, she's not bad. And then the season started to progress, and she just naturally took on a role of a big sister.
That's nice.
You know, like she would look at, because trust me, half the time I'm confused. I'm just like, what's going on? What are they doing? What are they doing? She'll explain to me, she'll break it down, you know, she'll hold my hand, and like just weird things like, I love fashion talker. I'm on Instagram, you know, social media, but I'm not in entertainment. And I think people would always mistake in that because when you see someone posting and they're popular, you think that I'm not an entertainer, I'm not in entertainment. So anything to do with production, filming, that's not my forte. So a lot of things will confuse me, and she'll always like, you know, so remember I used to come late a lot in the first season.
You still come late. You were late today.
I've changed. Okay, I was only 30 minutes late.
Only 30 minutes late. You were 1 hour late.
No, I was
literally going
to... Oh, lies. Girl. I was only 30 minutes.
What time did you get to my birthday?
Tucker, I was sick. Wow, you're really going to bring that up?
Girl,
I was
you sick. Came literally at the end.
I was sick.
And then
I rocked with you all night. I was the last to leave.
And then you know what is so annoying? This girl will accuse me of having no sense of urgency when we travel. But guess who arrives late all the time?
Tucker, at least I'm showing up with my passport. Hey.
Shots fired, that story. Yo, we have to share that story.
I still have the video when we were rushing back. We had 30 minutes to
guys,
the
let
train.
Me tell you what happened.
And you
so
strolled.
I land in London. Chuma and I are talking, and she's like, oh, where are you? The plan was to have shisha that evening. Just go get like hookah. And I was like, oh, I'm here. And she's around the corner. So let's meet. Then we meet at this hookah spot. And just by scrolling the phone, she just goes, what are you doing tomorrow? I was like, babe, you know, I literally just got off a flight because I just landed that evening, right? And my sister had surgery. So I came for a totally different reason, right? And my girl is like, let's go to Paris for a day. And I sat there and I really thought, you know what? Would it be wild for me to actually just wake up tomorrow morning and just, it was not in the plan, nothing. And just like that, every opportunity I raised to say, I might fall asleep, I might not wake up on time. 9 a.m. with my eye open, she had ordered the booked the tickets. On her way to me, Choma's like, we're making that 1 o'clock flight. Either you like it or not. So, of course, I was stuck with, you know, making the flight. Guys, we're rushing so much that we got to the, you know, it was so wild. In the car, it crossed my mind. But I just thought, nah, it couldn't be. Because we joked about the fact that getting there.
Imagine and, someone getting there and not having their passport.
And we just laughed. Guys, we went past security. The guys VIP. Were literally about to take us into the VIP lounge, and then they asked like the last they just asked for the passport, and I remember checking and I said, what if we don't find the passport? And Choma was like, you're joking, right? Guys, the passport was in there, it was back home. And home was like another like 30-40
minutes
from St. Pancras to
Knightsbridge.
How we made it, how did we make it? First, we had to move the time. Do you remember we were on your phone? Choma first moved the train ticket to another 2 hours. While I was still frantic, she was such a resourceful. Okay, we'll make it. 3 p.m. is the next available train. Let's head back to Knightsbridge. And then when I got out in the car, I was strolling, guys.
I was just like, what the hell? I had to feel, even the black, because we got a black cab. That's how much we were like rushing. He was like, nah, she must be joking, man. I said she's joking because so it was strolling.
I don't have any
sense of
urgency.
I timed it. I was like, this girl.
But at least I own it. You're always late, babe.
I own it, but I'm not. Do you know what? I've changed. I'm arguing
even
because
on your
I've
show,
changed.
They know you for being late.
But not this season. Last season, yes. Yeah. So Yabo always used to have my back. She's like, no, guys, she's not used to production. Don't shout at her. Stop it. Everybody here is used to production. Leave her alone. So like, that's the kind of way she'll step in for me, you know, because obviously when you're late, you look like the bad guy. So when you walk in, everyone's frowning, you know, giving you attitude.
Yeah.
So she'll always say something to like diffuse it, you know. And literally, that's just how our relationship has been. She's just been like almost like a backbone in a sense.
Well, that's amazing. That's
great.
I mean, we know how we sit and you and I talk about friendship, especially in this Lagos where, you know, sometimes you might just be like cool with somebody and behind your back they're not cool with you and you're like the last person to know. How do you navigate, like, you know, but you haven't been that close to too many people. You're the one always warning me. Like, it's so funny how Choma predicts all the friendships in my life. It's so wild. Do you remember book club at the start of the year?
We told you. Every time I see Soka, I'm like, Soka, you're so wise yet so naive. I'm like, how do you make all the right decisions, business-wise, finances, you know, all of this stuff? And then when it comes to friendships, I'm like, where's that sharp brain that, you know, you're on top of the world when it comes
But it's not my fault. You're lucky enough to have Kika Elia in your life and just have a circle. And, you're, you know, from you, I also learned the value of family as well, because I know how you're very into your family. Mm-hmm. And I made that promise at January and I've kept to it.
And look how it's been amazing for
you. It's been amazing.
You've been happy. You've not had any, like, issues this year, do you understand?
No, I don't usually have it.
No, okay, what do you mean? You and your plentiful friends, no. And you have to understand that when your star's bright, not everyone can handle it.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So there's some people that, as much as you love them, as your star's getting brighter and your journey is progressing, you have to let them go.
Mm.
They just don't fit into the next chapter of your life.
How come you never have those issues? Because apart from that, you also have like some new people I see you roll.
Baby girl, I pick wisely. I don't pick people that have the potential to be jealous or...
First of all, how do you know that they don't have the jealous... Isn't it when you're friends with them, you find out?
So basically, there's some friends that they... It's not even like they want what you have.
Mm.
They want to be you.
Mm.
Do you understand? They want your life. It's okay.
But that's not a bad thing in my book.
No. It's okay to want the same things. Do you understand? Me and Kika want the exact same things in life. But I don't want to be Kika. And Kika doesn't want to be Chama. She's not looking, thinking, I need to be Chama. Good. Or I'm like, I need to be Kika. No. I look at you talking. We mean you want the same things. We want to get married. We want to have children. We want to have drive all the fancy cars, own properties, retire in Monaco. We have the same dream.
True.
But I've never for 1 second thought, I want to be talking Makinwa. And I don't think you look at me thinking, I want to be Chama. Good. Do you understand? We want the same. But there's some people, they want to be you. If they can eliminate you from this existence and enter your shoes, they'll happily do that. Those are the kind of people that you don't need in your life.
I think you just hit a nail on the head, like on the head, like trying to figure out those people. I think that's where I'm lost, because sometimes I'm like an open book and I just, you know, used to be like,
but that's too much. I always told you this. I'm not talking, you can't just meet somebody and just like divulge everything about your life immediately. You can't trust people like that. Do you understand? You know, and then you pray for the gift of intuition. You're very prayerful. You remove your wig and pray at 3 a.m. in the midnight.
So I'll
be on the floor praying, you know. So you're very spiritual.
Just we've
praying actually, for intuition.
We've when you mentioned that, it just hit me that we've actually had quite a journey.
Mm-hmm.
We've cried together. Mm-hmm. We've traveled together. Mm-hmm. We've been in the fanciest places. We've been in the not so fanciest places. And we just end up coming out looking fabulous.
Literally, always.
The things we've been through never really defines us.
Never, ever.
Where do you think that strength comes from? I think people don't know how we can, you and I can talk from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Literally. And empower each other.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, I feel like for me with friendships, if every time I talk to a person, they want to talk about other people, gossip, you always have one story about XYZ, I'm not interested. I'm not a gossip. I don't like to talk about other people.
Yeah.
I think I'm so self-conceited that I don't care what anybody else is doing. And if I meet somebody who's all about gossiping about others, that's a red flag straight away.
Yeah.
But if I talk to you and somewhere in that conversation, I've, you know, gotten some sort of advice, come out better, I'm learning something from your experiences, that's someone that you can keep.
Mm.
You know, friends that you can win with, friends that you can learn from, you know, it's very important.
You touched on this marriage thing. Like, why are you not married yet?
Bitch, why are you not married? Where the husband at? Why are you not married? Okay.
Happy.
Oh, fair. Okay, love her. It's okay.
I've been there, done that, got a t-shirt, mate. How are you navigating the streets of this?
I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
And the way, like, I just, like, everyone's getting divorced. So clearly there's something that's not so rosy and fancy about this thing.
I think it's just generation.
Mm.
I think that one of the things, do you remember in the taxi in Paris when we were saying that it's so funny how people think the worst of us but don't realize that we have conscience?
Literally. Literally.
Like, there's some things that if I did, you call me and be like, Tox, really?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that I'll be like, Choma, it's not really jiggy now.
And even with you, so it's crazy because how many rumors are you going to clarify? Do you know what I mean? When you see stuff about yourself that in your mind, you're like, jokes.
Yeah.
That's, of course, it's not true. But people believe that stuff.
They do.
And are you going to come out and be like, hi guys, so disclaimer, I read this in the blog, it's not true. Like, you almost can't do it.
Yeah.
So you almost have to live with people's like rumors and impressions and whatnot, you know? And I guess that's one of the disadvantages of being, I don't know, famous, popular, like
being in this, space. Yeah,
they will lie about you.
You did also, I remember a quote, I think you said it on your show, like, you know, being successful also, I find it as the gift and the curse. Sometimes I really hate when men, and I'm the one, I always, whenever I say this to Choma, she goes, what do you mean? I hate when men try to humble me. Do you think that happens with you as well? Mm-hmm. Where it's like men almost, some men that I've dealt with in my life always feel like they've heard so much about you and they just want to know what it feels like to be with this person. Mm-hmm. And then in the process, they try to humble you. Like, I know you already have your own. I know, you know, when your guy comes with that sort of attitude, mm-hmm. like, I know you're independent, but I know you got this, I know, but they're still trying. And then I'm just tired of it. Like, I just feel like these days I crave to date people who don't know me.
Right.
Like, when you say you're not, you don't know anything, you don't have mm-hmm. Facebook, you don't have, yes, let's mm-hmm. talk. Mm-hmm. I don't like people who I think have, because there's a preconceived idea of who they think you are. Mm-hmm. Do you have those issues as well in dating?
Yeah, I feel like, increasingly so, it's become a lot more difficult for me to like date because you don't know who's with you like genuinely or who's trying to be with you for clout, you know. I mean, one thing I will say is when people get to know me, it's always a different ball game. So even if they came with wrong intentions, the moment they get to know me and like we bond and we speak and they're like, oh my God, she's so intelligent. Oh my God, she's so kind. She's so caring. All
they
these different things.
They say that to me, but I feel like they lose interest after. I'm not lying. I've said this to
you. Are you
before.
Being too nice?
No, it's not that. Honestly.
Are you giving too much of yourself too soon?
I don't think I'm even nice enough. Like, even Tiwa and I have this conversation. I feel Tiwa is even nicer. Like, when she's Tiwa Savage and how nice Tiwa is, sometimes I'm like, I need to learn from you. I'm very wicked. You know, by the time you talk one, I would have 10 mm-hmm. blasted your life, blocks, bye. Do you understand? So I don't think that is it. I think that sometimes they like the idea of who they see online mm-hmm. and who they see on TV. And when they realize that, I really enjoy the days that I look homeless. I really enjoy eating my amala. It would like, mm-hmm. yeah, I like the caviar. I like the finest things in life. But I'm also the girl who just wants to walk the streets and grab ice cream.
Right.
Some of them, they are like, it's almost like you're too normal.
So do you feel like they don't like that? They don't like that normal
thing.
They want
bored.
That superstar.
They like that wake up diamond, hair did, makeup, like looking like a doll all the time. Let's go to Monaco. Yeah, yeah. Mm. I feel like that part of them, you know, even when they know right. you're intelligent and you're so much more than that, it's like, maybe that's what is enticing them. And then what am I supposed to do? Stop wearing wigs? Stop wearing my jewelry? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, also, could it be the kind of guys that you're going for or that you're having it from?
Okay, you guys have said that before and I've tried to date outside of that and it still happened. So am I supposed to go to Shiloh? Is he a prayer? Do I need deliverance? Like, I don't
but
know.
But also, I guess, I know it sounds cliche, but like God's time.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it, because surely there's somebody out there for everyone. Mm. You know, sometimes I see like the most, like the weirdest unions, people that you'd have never thought would have made it together and they're waxing strong. So I just feel like there is somebody out there. There's somebody that's going to love you in your entirety, the way that you look, the way you act, the fact that at 3 a.m. you're on the ground praying, but tomorrow you might be, you know, popping champagne in one club. Do you understand? They love everything that makes you. And that will be your person. And I feel like when you find that person, you'll know. And I don't think that you should settle, you know? I feel like society likes to dictate to women a time frame for this. You must have kids at this. Have you frozen your eggs?
Yeah. No, well, gee, friend, for not wanting me to ask you personal things, it's nice for you to just,
sorry.
It's nice for you to just throw that out there.
No, like, I haven't, and I want to. I need
why
to.
Why haven't you done it?
Just no time, not making out time for it, but I will. Like,
on all these holidays that we go on,
I know,
it's not
that. Because we're turning up. But you know, there's a bit of downtime, like a week or two, right?
True. For me, like 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I need to like literally decide, okay, this 2 weeks of my life.
Do you want to have kids?
Of course, I want to have three kids. I want to have one boy and then twin girls.
You have everything all figured out, don't you?
Yeah. And I do want a husband, but I will freeze my eggs because I don't want to be bound by a certain time. Because if I feel like in my head, oh, before this age, I have to be married, what's going to happen is I'll end up settling because in my head I must. And I have friends who have done that. They literally like spelled it out and ended up making mistakes because they wanted to hit that target, you know. So if I didn't play with my life like that. I'll freeze my
funny
eggs.
How when we're younger, there's certain things that we're so sure would happen at a certain point in
our
life.
Yes, I said this last week. I was like, Kai, if anyone told me that at this age, I would be married. Not that I care, it's not a big deal, but I just would have thought that, by now I would have settled and like.
But then, you know, the thing is, I always say this, like when I have such thoughts, I also always think back to how far I have come. And I realize that, as you said, God has a perfect timing for everything. And sometimes God wants to establish certain things in your life. Mm. Like, I don't regret the fact that I'm 39 and unmarried. I don't regret the fact, I mean, I've been married before, so mm-hmm. I don't regret the fact that I've not had kids, because I feel like if I was going to throw children into the mix of what my life has been like in the last 5 years, something will suffer. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want to be a bad mom. So while we're in it, sometimes it's the most horrific experience, because you're just like, okay, the loneliness is there. The worrying is there. The, would I find my person? But then when that season passes and you look back, you're like, if I had married this person, I would not be where I am today. God forbid you had married a man that will cage you in the house. All your fancy clothes, be wearing this for yourself. Go outside.
And your nannies and your maids.
Do you know what I mean? God forbid that you marry someone and it's like, you can't be on this show. And you don't know what leads to what in our lives. Because, yeah, you're looking at it as this show, but you just don't know who's watching and what doors this show will open mm-hmm. and what are the things that will happen
from
it.
Well, the piece
it.
Of the puzzle that is.
Do you know what I mean? So if you now rush to, you know, focus on one part of your life. And then it's so weird how we always sometimes look at the part that we're not successful at. Mm. And I learned this, you know, in the last couple of years, you know, my sister always said to me, yeah, you can look at your friends who are married and with kids and think you're missing something. But they're looking at you and thinking, damn.
I know.
Look at your career. Mm-hmm. Damn, like you're mm-hmm. so successful.
Mm-hmm. First of all, half of them are miserable. Make no mistakes about it. A lot of these like fancy looking marriages, a lot of women are not happy.
I don't think I can. Would you ever stay in like an unhappy situation?
No, I won't. I'll try and make it work. I mean, I don't intend on going into a marriage.
Some people feel like kids,
having divorced
you know,
in mind.
Change the dynamic of if you had kids, you have to stay regardless of how bad things get.
I feel like it just depends. I feel like when you have kids, it does make it harder. And I feel like you should make more of an effort to work it out if you have children. Because like for me, I grew up in a household that was complete. You know, I like to think of my family as the cereal packet family, which is like a perfect family, mummy, daddy, kids, everything's just moving smoothly. And that's the life that I had. Mm. So I want to give that to my children. But I don't feel like anyone who's in a marriage that isn't serving them anymore, where you're constantly unhappy, maybe the man is like violent towards you or all of those different things. I don't feel like it's a death sentence marriage. Mm-mm.
Do you know the other day I was, when this Cassie and Diddy thing first dropped and everyone was talking about it, I took a moment to thank the Lord because I have a mouth on me. And I was like, all through my life, God has loved me and just protected me. I've never had like domestic, and shout out to the women who've had to deal with, I mean, my heart breaks just thinking about any form of abuse, emotional, physical, or in particular, physical abuse. Lord knows that I don't know if I could survive it. Like reading things that Cassie documented, I had a moment where I was just like, how have you with this, your sharp mouth? And it's not about sharp mouth, because the people who are also like nice and who speak and who are humble, and they find people who pummel them, you know, to the ground. So I don't know. I think that's one of the things that in my life, I'm just like every day I have to be praying.
I'm lucky.
Domestic violence, I can't, Choma, God will receive a visitor. I promise you, like I.
But okay, so I've experienced that before. I've been in a relationship that was violent. Like I'll say that my first relationship. And
how long did it take you before you broke out?
But this is the thing. You feel like, oh, God, receive a visitor. God, that's not how it happens.
Really?
Because the most violent men are the serial beggars. I remember the first time he did it. He stayed outside of my house. He slept outside of my house for 3 days on the floor in the rain, sunshine, everything. He was begging. Obviously, by the fourth day, I'm not a devil. I was like, come inside, sleep on the corridor. I woke up in the middle of the night. He was next to me on the bed. And they beg, they come and shower you with gifts and tell you all these things. And I'm a very strong, you know that I'm a strong person, but even I went back. And then it happened the second time.
So how did you find the courage to leave? Because, you know, I'm genuinely
I did not have the courage to leave. I was just there, you know, it happened twice. And when I say happened, it wasn't like one small thing. Both times I ended up in hospital. The second time, because the first time I was like, I told Kika, my friend, don't tell anyone, you know, let's just forgive him.
There's a shame that comes
from
it.
There's a shame that, yeah, 100%. And that stigma as well. And guess what? The first time he did it, he went and told, he started calling people. I was literally in the house, like bleeding, like it was really horrible. And he ran out of the house and he started calling people. You know, they start to, I think also as a narcissistic trait, they start to defend themselves. He's like, Chama did this, she did that. Yeah. She hit her, he was like, oh, I hit myself or something. I hit my face on the door. Because my nose literally like shifted, and he started calling everybody. So my phone was ringing, but obviously I couldn't pick up. I was literally on the floor. But when I, you know, was stable, I saw all these messages. Oh, what happened? This person just called that person. Your boyfriend called saying that, you know, you hit your face, you know, and that you were fighting him. So he basically put the blame on me completely so he would look innocent. So by the time I even started speaking up, it's like you're now defending yourself from the lies, not even telling that, oh, he's a bad person. So it was divided. People thought, this girl's a troublemaker. And of course, my friends believe
me. That's what I said about my mouth. Like, that's one of the things that scares me the most, because people automatically think that I am the one that, you know.
And of course, you know, I got a mouth on me.
Pushed the person.
But it wasn't, we did get into an argument. Of course, I was young then. So some of the things that I said, you know, messed with his ego. But that's no excuse.
Yeah.
There's no excuse whatsoever to put your hands on anybody, you know, but he did. I did forgive him the first time. My first brother, because he lives in London, he was in London at the time. He didn't speak to me for like a year because that one was ready to kill him. He said, that boy must meet his maker. And so I protected him. And so my brother like cut me off because he was like, this girl, you're not ready. The second time, Kika was like, no trauma. Mm-mm, we're not doing this. She called my sister, called my parents, called everybody.
Did you fight her for that? Because you were probably mad.
I wasn't mad. Mm. I mean, I wasn't happy. Of course, who wants to be, you know, pummeled into the ground? And it was really bad. She was there. They were all banging on the door. They were like, open this door. They could all hear it because I called them just before it happened. I was like, guys, come over.
I've always wondered what goes through men who, and this is not all sounding sexist. I'm thinking men don't go through domestic violence as well. I'm sure they do, but I'm not a man. So I can't speak about what a man feels or goes through if he's stuck with someone who pummels him. I don't know. I can only speak from being a woman because I'm a woman. I wonder sometimes what goes through this man's mind. You can clearly see that if this is not a fair fight.
It's not.
It's not a fair fight. You see men like you. Enter a ring with them and flex your muscle now. Do you understand? It's not a fair
fight. But I feel like any man that hits a woman is a weak man. Clearly you're weak, because why are you trying to hit a woman? And trust me, if they had their male counterparts, they wouldn't do anything. I never saw him fight a guy, ever. Not even as much as get into an argument with a guy.
Raise his voice at a guy.
Never, ever. He was the cool guy. Everyone thought he was so cool. Everyone loved him. So even when he would tell his lies, they believed him because he was so cool. But he wouldn't turn me into his punching bag. My friends were like, no way. They called my family. I was on a plane to Nigeria the next day.
Is that how you guys finally
from
broke
hospital
up?
And then they kept me there for like, they kept me in Nigeria for like 5 months.
That's how you guys broke
I missed
up.
All my exams. Missed all my exams that year. Didn't do
so
anything.
You still
I
see
got
him
deferred.
If you saw him recent, does he, I mean, now you're a superstar. So
but
I
you
mean,
see how life
in
is.
His mind.
He called me that one time. He messaged me, please, I need work. Help me. I see you're doing so well. You're so big. Help me. And I have XYZ children, so many children. Help me, help me. I just said, see God.
I will always think he's
because I never got revenge, and I always felt cheated. Do you understand? I always felt that this guy did this to me, and he got away with it. When Cassie came out, and people were like, "How can you?" I was like, "Everyone, just shut up!" Because you don't know people's experiences. Yeah. You don't know what they've been through.
Well, you know what? I would hear people say things like it was a money thing. I say yes, rightfully so.
Yes, yes.
Yes. How can a man you say you love watch male people allegedly because we're not in the court, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like, and for me, I just feel like whatever form of punishment that it takes, whether it be him being publicly shamed, him having to pay her money, or him going to prison, whatever it takes, anything is fine. Do you understand?
His reputation is always going to be there. Literally. And anyone we see with him, we're always going to look. Mm-hmm. This guy that called you for a job, in my mind, even XYZ, I think he beats his wife. I don't know him, I'm not in his life, but once a beater, always a bitter, unless the Lord decides to rescue you.
Because the wife left,
or you've
his
gone
new
to
wife
counseling.
Left him apparently. Yeah. So probably.
I just don't think they wake up and they just change. I feel like he has to, you have to go through. But that's the thing. People just see the well put together Chioma, the businesses, the Real Housewife, and think, oh, all she knows is designer clothes and to look nice. But people don't really understand that behind everyone you see, there is a story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story that the day you hear, you'll be like, yes, I am here judging this person, but I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. I've been lucky in my life, but I don't know what I would do if I ever ended up with someone who would. Chioma, you know how I invest in my skincare? Ah, that you want to slash my face. Ah,
it was bad.
I just hope Knox would, like, we never have to experience that kind of thing again, because it's crazy.
The second time he actually broke my jaw. I couldn't eat for like 3 weeks. I looked like a lollipop. People are like, you're so skinny, your head is so big. Because I couldn't eat. But I couldn't tell them, oh yeah, this is what happened.
And I can bet that you probably get like long letters the next day. I love you. Please don't leave me.
Trust me. When you see a beater, you're seeing a beggar. They can beg. So my family, they just bundled me out. My dad always says, because this was the same year that our house in Ikoyi caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he always used to say, like, he's even till today, he'll be like, everything happens. He's like, that house caught fire so that my passport could burn, because his passport burnt. He was like, because if not, I would have been in jail in England because he would have come there and, do you understand? Yeah. I'm the baby of the house.
Yeah.
So that's the last phone call any father wants to hear.
Wow. Mm. So let's talk about how you put it all together, because I know that a lot of people love your fashion sense. And I know you just launched this Choma Closet thing. And, you know, because I was also inspired by that, because we spend all this money on the selfies and they all die in my wardrobe.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
You should definitely have that.
I have never, like, my birthday dress, though, your stylist in England said to me, don't take this back to Nigeria, because if you do, you're just going to hang literally, I don't want to call the amount of money we spent on that dress in your wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never, it's not a piece that you can even style with something else. So you're never going to wear it again. So I'm definitely thinking about, can I donate some things to your closet and you can put them up? And
yeah, of course, for sure.
Okay,
because you have a lot of stuff to wear. I think you're the worst when it comes to like.
I think I'm actually a hoarder now. I don't even know why.
And half of your stuff is new anyway.
Oh no, but there's some things, do you regret buying sometimes as
of
well?
Of course.
Do you remember those aloe vera glasses?
I have five. How many do you have?
All the colors. Girl, what are you going to do with yours?
It'll make it to the closet, Choma's closet, and then people will buy.
She's such a smart girl, isn't she? Honestly, I think this is the first person that's doing something like this in such magnitude in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And how's it been?
It's busy.
Mm.
I can't even lie.
Because it's also giving people the opportunity to get these things that they just see on their face.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, our brand manager, like, I have to baby her every day because, oh my God, let this girl not wake up and be like, this is not what I signed up for. She doesn't sleep, she doesn't rest. Like, we're constantly, like, packing, so many orders coming in. It's a lot. It's really been crazy, I can't lie. But I thank God because, obviously, like, it's been very successful. I've wanted to do Choma's Closet for the last 3 years.
Mm.
I just didn't know if, like, if I was allowed to. I was like, how are people going to receive it?
Mm.
I know Nigerians are a bit funny about like...
That's, in fairness, that's one of the things that stopped me from doing that. Because even when people ask me, can I have this thing you've worn? I always buy for them. I've had people who say to me, I'm graduating. You wore this nice dress. You wore these things. I would be like, send me and I will buy a brand new one if their story is moving enough. And send it to them. Shoes, same thing. Because there's that spiritual angle that Nigeria has kept us in for so long.
But I feel like everywhere else in the world, it's normal. Kim Kardashian has like a closet. You know, she has her Kim Kardashian wardrobe that people can shop. You know, I think Lala has it. Keisha Kale. Like all these people that wear amazing pieces. Because, I mean, how many times are you going to wear, you know, a Gucci outfit or a Dior outfit? You wear it once. Don't really wear it again, let's be honest. Especially when it's been on Snapchat, Instagram, pictures, you know, it's in the tabloids. You don't really get to repeat it. And they're just leaving it hanging in your closet when someone else can benefit from it, you know. Also, you're saving the environment, you know. It's like sustainable fashion. That way, you're not, people are not necessarily buying and buying and buying. We're actually recycling the things that we've already used and worn. So it makes sense. And people get it at a much cheaper price than if they went to the store.
Yeah, but how cheap is cheaper? Like, do you have like a 10% off? Or do you
some stuff is 30%, 40%, 50%. Okay. There's some stuff that's even 70% off.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Because the older the season, the cheaper it becomes.
Yeah.
So some stuff is literally 70, 80% off.
Yeah.
You know, on the first day when we launched, it was crazy. They rushed everything on the website.
Mm.
Everything was gone.
And then you're very charitable as well. People don't, I mean, I'm happy that you do that on your show. I think you're the only one on that show. I was saying this to someone the other day, and I'm not, you know, I'm not really the kind of person that needs to gas. I gas my friends up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because we're on the podcast. But I was talking about your show and I was saying to someone that this is one character who is well-grounded. It's a little bit of everything with you. There's the work, which a lot of them haven't quite figured out how to really push, but you do it effortlessly. You've always filming in your office, always filming on good hair projects. There's the fashion, which we see every time we see you on TV. There's also the giving back, which first season you did, second season you did. So is there like a team of people that at the start of the season, do you sit back and say, these are the things that I want to do to push, to promote?
So, I mean, because it's a reality show, they have to cover your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, if they're maybe like pressing things that you, let's say, for instance, I was launching a product, I'll let them know that, okay, I'm launching this year. And of course, I'd like to, you know, cover it. So you do stuff like that. But for me, like, there's some recurring themes in my life. My charity is something I'm so big on. I deal with every single day of my life. You cannot cover my reality and not cover it. So it's not a matter of, oh, we did it in season one, we can't do it again. No, I do it every week. So if you want to cover me, you must show that. Same thing with work. It's a part of my life. I go to work every single day. So that's something that has to be covered, you know. But yeah, the Good Way Foundation is just something that's so dear to my heart. Like, I love to give back. I love to see people do better. And aside from like the fact that we go to these impoverished communities and, you know, help them out with their education, housing. Toki, have you seen where some of these people live?
I've had a couple of shoots at Makoko, which I think for one, it's even doing better now. I remember back then, it used to, it's bad.
Yeah. Like, the, you can't even, it's really, really bad. And I feel guilty. Here's me pulling up in my Range Rover and there's not even a ground to walk on to get to some of their homes. And I wouldn't even call it homes, they're shacks. It's just like wood put together, you know, that people live in. So I'm just like, if I have spare money, why not? You know, and I started it not so seriously, but then it's just been growing and growing and I've been able to do so much more. And that's literally why part of why I launched Trauma's Closet, because I needed a form of income for the charity because it's been self-funded.
Yeah.
You hardly ever see me, only recently, probably like in the last month that I've said, okay, guys, you can contribute to this account.
Mm-hmm.
I never did that before. Because you know how people are funny? Yeah. They'll be like, hey, look at this one. You're using your charity money to go to Paris. You know, they'll be judging your lifestyle, you know, because they feel like they're contributing. So I just never, ever did. And I would just pay for every single thing, you know. So now with Trauma's Closet, 50% of the money that we make on the closet goes to the charity.
That's amazing. Directly. Well done. Mm-hmm.
So it's really good.
Do you feel like do you care what people think about you? Because being on this sort of show, Real Housewives of Lagos, there's you get to deal with opinions. You know, one season you're the sweetheart, next season you're the evil witch. Next season, it's like people have these personal conversations with themselves in your comment section. And it's like, y'all don't sleep? Really? You guys really take these things literally to heart.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get bothered by the perception?
So,
who do you think they perceive you as this season, for instance?
I feel like this. Okay, so what's so crazy to me is, I'll tell you the only thing that's ever bothered me, right? I don't care what people say. Anyone that knows me knows that that is your business. I don't give a shit. However, the one thing that I'll say annoyed me from last season was the fact that it ended with people thinking, oh, she's not loyal. She's not a loyal friend. The reality could not be any more opposite. My goodness, it was literally the complete opposite of the way that it came out, you know. And that's why for me, like, that's my issue with like reality TV and editing. At the end of the day, like,
angry when you see certain scenes and you're like,
do I ever, babe? How many times am I happy when I'm like, of course, you get angry half the time. You're like, what the hell? How the hell did you edit this? Like, you know. But it's almost like what you signed up for. Yeah. Do you understand?
I think that's what scares me the most about reality TV show, because I've said that to you, like that type of show. I feel like, you know, I've always felt like, the editor has all the power. The editor is king.
Yes.
And he can decide.
Yes, if the editor doesn't like you, you're fucked. That's how I see it. That's how I see it, like, literally. You know, because, yes, they can't create something that you haven't said or done, but it could be used in a different context.
Yeah.
That isn't the case, you know? And for me, like, there are just times where I've seen stuff and I'm just like, first of all, that's not how it happened. Guys, don't do that. And I just start messing. How dare you guys?
You do that?
Of course.
You read them?
Yes. I'm like, not the audience. Yeah. It's not their fault. They're only reacting to what they're seeing.
Yeah.
But of course, the people that made it look that way, I'm like, what are you guys doing? Are you being funny?
Yeah.
Do you want to start talking?
Yeah.
And you're not really allowed to talk.
Really do that actually?
Yeah, I don't.
But on the international franchise, they do. They always like come for each other on the show. You find this person that will rewrite, you know. But then I kind of like with you, you never really.
Yeah,
just...
like I'm busy. I'm genuinely busy. Do you understand? Is it when I'm working, dealing with my 100 staff or my foundation in Makoko, entering one muddy water, trying to feed people, or when I'm on a yacht in Monaco? At what time do I have to respond?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really, like, for me, it's a show, it's done, it's done. Like, people have their opinions, you know, they're going to decide whatever. Last season, they said I wasn't loyal. Now I'm being loyal. They say I'm a follower. Do you understand? You can't win.
They say you're a follower this season.
They said, oh, me and that I'm basically like, I was not. Like, they didn't like how she's acting and I can't tell my friend off. Do you understand?
But you're not even the kind of person that will tell your friend off on TV.
We died together. Do you understand? That's it. If she
you're
does something
wrong, on the way home,
on the way home,
like, yeah.
If I even feel that way, I can be like, oh yeah, by the way, you know, too much. But me coming in front of people for what? Yeah. I won't do that. So, but my point, and imagine if I did that on TV, they'll be like, ah, she's not loyal. This guy, she's not loyal. You know, so it's like you can never win.
You can never win.
So all you can do is be yourself and do you understand? Those that like you're going to love you, they'll rock with you, whatever the case is. And there's some people that have decided to not like you regardless. Do you understand? They've seen you, they've judged you, and there's nothing I will do on that show that will make them like me. Mm. Do you understand? Even if I do the greatest things, they'll find fault in it. You know, so you can't please everyone and you can't live your life trying to please everyone. Mm. Just do you and let God handle the rest.
Would you ever date someone that's like... And the podcast style is not interview style, so we don't really like interview people, and I hope that I'm not coming across asking questions like it's an interview, but in terms of like, you know, famous people, like would you date a famous person?
I feel like it just depends. I feel like, I
would
mean,
you date a famous person in Nigeria?
So I've talked to like a few famous people. In terms of like fully dating, the person will have to be like me, so like public, private.
Okay.
You know, so
for yes. those who are not following, what does public private mean?
So just like you're a public person, you're for famous, your you do your thing, but your private life is private. Mm. So you don't post to me every second. Any small thing we do, it's on the gram, you know, because I feel like...
Would you feel weird if a guy, you know, would usually just post you? Because yeah. It's so funny how people used to fight about if your man doesn't post you, that means it's something. I've never been that girl.
But it depends. Do you understand? You're somebody that gets talked about. I'm someone that gets talked about. So I don't need the extra eyes. I don't because use the extra pride out eyes.
And they're like, oh, if he doesn't post you, then maybe he's not proud of you. I'll tell maybe when I was much younger, it used to bother me. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Like, you know, maybe like in my marriage day, and I'll be like, why is he not like posting me or whatever? But I got over it real quick because I don't even...
feel like it's the phase you are in life. There's a phase where like he ain't trying to post you anyway. So of course you want what you can't have. Do you understand? But now every guy is trying to post you, so you're gonna be like, no, stop.
Yeah. I think I would run if I even dated a guy who was very like into social media. Mm-hmm. I don't think I even like guys who spend so much time on social media.
I didn't like it either.
It's a turn off for
me. It's a serious turn off.
You know, those people who are
true. Guys that set ring light cord and just do the mostest. I don't think I could.
Do you know what even makes me laugh, Choma? When I see trolls that happen to be guys, I shudder to imagine what their girlfriends or their wives are like. I silently judge their partners. I can't lie. Because when you see like a Twitter troll, for instance, who comes at you and says the most horrific thing, they talk about my bum a lot. My bum needs its own Twitter account at this point. Guys, I don't get what the obsession is with my bum. I sleep and wake up with it. I love it. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what you guys say.
And that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. So when I see especially guys write about my bum, I'm tempted to want to ask, what does your girlfriend feel about these tweets? Because imagine being married to somebody. You have the effrontery to comment about Beyonce's bum. And you're coming home at night. You must be mad. Do you know what I mean?
But you know, half of these people, if they had the opportunity to be around you or be with you.
I definitely know that.
It's the opposite.
But I'm saying, like, how do you even date somebody who argues online? How are you dating somebody who gets into Twitter fights and wars? Like, you see when a celebrity responds to a troll and it makes it to, like, most of his top blogs. Mm-hmm. I cringe to imagine what their family and their friends are like. Because I imagine if that was you, you know you get a call from me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, why are you? Mm-hmm. It's just like change room posting you abusing Kim Kardashian. I'll be hiding on that carpet for you. Like, Choma, really? Did you really throw her? Like, why? But I don't get how these people think. Like, how do you date somebody?
I'm like, I don't know, is it joblessness? They're not busy.
It's a question that I really think that we need more time to actually... I don't get it.
If you're busy, what time do you have to go on your phone and have an opinion on... I don't even know what you're doing, let alone have an opinion on it. Do you know what I mean? You have to be jobless.
And then for me, it's like, I won't give the girls a pass because, okay, with girls, you can say, okay, maybe sometimes it's not really jealousy. Sometimes I've also looked at Beyonce and I've thought, bitch, you do so much. Like, God gave us the same 24 hours. Why are you trying to make it seem as if I don't do enough?
That's lucky jealousy, though.
It is. But I'm saying that her work ethics would motivate and also make me feel terrified and make me feel so many emotions at a time.
Yeah.
I remember when a Netflix special came out with The Homecoming and I watched that thing and I thought, I hate you. I just hate how perfect your life is. So I think it helps me understand women, for instance. Like, I get it. When a hating ass woman is in my comments, I don't even spare them. And they're the ones who comment on my body the most. Like, women who I know deep down, if your man had the opportunity to stab this, he will, and he won't come back home, sis. So sit down. So I know, but then when I see men actually viciously attack people online, I don't know if I have a different... Maybe I'm also, like, crazy to have a different standard for... Maybe I give women a pass, even in doing wrong. I would never understand why a man would be talking about Choma Goodhair's hair, her face. I don't get it. Like, do you want to date her? That would be next... Like, why are you bothered? as a man about what she's wearing and how ugly she is and how nice she's like, why?
But trust me, half the time, if you click on their pages, they're losers. These yeah, are not even...
I guess that kind of answers it.
I don't want to say the professions that they do, but you know what I'm talking about. These are, they're not people that, do you understand?
Yeah, someone trolled me, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I clicked on the person's page, and first I saw Jesus baby, save, and a Bible passage, and I laughed for like five, I think it was Timisa I forwarded it to, and I laughed for like 5 minutes, and I thought it's so funny how, look at your life, mm-hmm. like sis, like if I even click on your page and I just even look at your life, I feel sorry for you as mm-hmm. it is. So I can't even respond because mm-hmm. I know that this is a cry for attention. Mm-hmm. You don't hate me. You just want me to notice you. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Literally. Guess what? You got me to scroll on your page. At least I went. I've seen the Jesus scores and I've seen that you're a Jesus baby. Mm-hmm. Then you can go and sin mm-hmm. no more.
Congrats.
You know? Mm-hmm. Congratulations. So we're going to keep seeing you on this Real Housewives journey. Season 3 going to be there, 4, 5. So
can I have my lip gloss, please?
You know you're not going to cut the part that you're going to apply lip gloss on this show.
Oh my
this is
God.
A podcast. We don't cut anything.
Oh my God. You this lip gloss just... that got me in trouble before.
What, on TV?
Yeah. They were like, oh, I'm always applying lip gloss.
Really?
Touching my powder brush too.
Girl, you better do that. Can, mm-hmm. can you guys pass a lip gloss and a... Give me lip gloss too. Can I get lip gloss? I think I have the oil one. Is that the lip gloss you took off me?
No, but I have that one. That was so sweet, by the way. It's okay.
I've been looking for to buy another one.
You haven't found a replacement. That was so sweet. I felt like...
You look really cute, by the way.
You know, like, there's certain things that, do you understand? Like, there's certain things that you won't give somebody just mm-hmm. because you only have one. Mm. And it's not, like, it's so expensive, but it's, mm. like, you know.
Yeah, but you're like my sister.
That lip gloss meant a lot to you. And you gave it to me, like, just,
yeah,
you know, just like
and
that.
And I've been looking for it, literally. Yeah. They sent
Thank
me another
you.
Pair.
And I wear it all
there.
The time.
It really, I know, on my birthday, I think so you wore it, Zevi. I was low-key kind of hating on your ass. Like, see this girl's lips.
But I'm never that's giving you back.
That's definitely my lip gloss that she's got going on. Just kick it. You can just throw it. Yeah, guys, so we're going to apply lip gloss and close the show. I hope you guys have had enough fun watching Chioma and I.
Is that the lip gloss, right?
Mm. This is another one now.
That's it.
No. This is another one.
Give me!
You're not going to give it back.
I'll give you back.
Chioma.
No, but this is mine.
This is mine. They just passed mine to me.
Is that hers? Okay, give me mine of that one.
Is it the same thing? That means I found it too.
No. Maybe you got another one. Okay, let me just Dior. I'll give you back, don't worry.
And this Dior is like...
I know. Just give me.
Okay, here we go. I love it because it has this plumbing effect. You love it. It's like it just makes your lips like
look bigger, plump. Right?
Yeah. Guys, while she's applying some Dior, because we're material girls, mm-hmm. thank you all for watching. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow this podcast on every streaming platform available. This has been Chioma. You know, I it's so weird to call you by your last name because Good Hair is like literally.
But everyone feels like Good Hair is my last name.
It's not.
Should I just put it like as a middle name? Chioma Good Hair Ikoku.
Ikoku is her last name.
And the name of my children.
So maybe G
Good Hair.
Maybe G C C G
H. But then there'll be an I. C G H I.
So will you hyphenate if you got married? Would you take on your husband's last name?
I would. Like, I think I'm quite traditional. So
really?
I would love to. I wouldn't mind. But Chioma Ikoku is such. A brand, such
Nobody
a vibe.
Nobody knows Chioma Ikoku. We know Chioma
Ikoku. Get out! The thing is, I love my dad so much. I love his. I'm gonna keep Ikoku in the middle
I
of my name.
I kept mine when I got married.
Did you?
Yeah.
So what was it? Tokemakinwa.
It was supposed to be Tokemakinwa Aida.
So what?
Boy, it was only at home that he called me Mrs. Aida.
Okay.
But I was always called Tokemakinwa.
Tokemakinwa.
Well, he understood as well because he came from a family where his sister was a doctor, an OBGYN, a very top OBGYN.
Like a proper one. Okay.
Yeah, proper one in England. And she's always still known as Dr. Aida. So he never had a conversation with me of, baby, why can't you change your name? Like, he wasn't wired that way. He didn't care. And I hope that whoever I end up with next would actually love.
Not
mine,
because
Tokemakinwa
right.
is staying. I don't want to have I'm not taking anybody's last name.
So you'll just keep your name,
yeah,
Tokemakinwa?
My name is Tokemakinwa.
So what about your kids? What surname
they
would
They can
bear
their father's surname.
Okay.
Yeah, they can take
so
their father's
surname.
You
never changing your passport, your bank details?
No, I never, my bank details, nothing changed.
Really?
We divorced. Thank God it didn't change.
Thank God it didn't
Imagine
change.
Imagine what I've gone through to change it back.
Cancelling.
Hey, please help me. I used to be Fama Fama Aida. Please, I
to become talking about my name. No, I built this brand. No,
I would love to keep my name. Well, at least have it in the middle.
I think you should.
I'll have it in the middle.
I don't think you would even, you're the kind of person that will marry a man who will care. Yeah, I don't think you would marry a man who would care.
But I feel like if, I mean, I don't know who I'm going to end up with, but I feel like Igbo people are very like traditional.
Listen, so even an Igbo man who meets you now, who sees what you've done for yourself, he would be very proud of you. He'll be the one to be telling people, do you know my wife is trauma?
I think so. I feel like Igbo men are very like,
They want to be in control.
They want to be like in that position.
They could possibly be at home.
I feel like they like women who are like maybe like a, I'm not saying I'm not submissive. I can be. If I love you, like I'm very submissive.
Mm. But do you cook for men?
I can cook. I mean, the things that I know how to cook, I don't know how to cook like star chambanga or like, you know, certain type of things. But I can make like jollof rice, fried rice, stew, you know, stir fry, pasta, lasagna.
Do you think like cooking is an art of like, an act of love for your
I feel like it is an act of love. Men love to be cooked for and catered to. And, you know, when I was in, like, you know, my long-term relationship.
That guy loved you, Shia.
I loved him too.
Why did you just marry that
My Ray of Sunshine.
I'm so sorry we're talking about that one.
Which one? Oh, that one. Oh, yeah. They've all loved me.
No, Ray of Sunshine. I liked how he adored
funny enough, even the other one I used to cook for.
Because that guy, if you said jump,
I'm a different person.
You ask how high. Do you remember how in love with you that guy was?
Yeah. That one was really in love.
And
yeah.
I could see the two of you together. Is he married now?
He's not actually.
So why don't you get back with him?
We could actually.
Why do I feel like you might even be dating somebody right now? You should make sure I say we could actually.
No, it's just that he's in a different country. So it's like,
I know. But I like the Ray of Sunshine guy too. Mm-hmm.
All my exes have been amazing. I've not had like a bad relationship apart from that first demon. Mm-hmm. But everybody else has been wonderful, you know, and I cook for them. I'm Cancerian. We're naturally loving, caring. We're the most caring zodiac sign. Mm. So imagine like being my partner. You're going to get the best of the best of the best.
And that's on point. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, she just said it as it is. I mean, I think I need to be a bit more domesticated. Like, I just don't do anything. Listen, when a guy asks me, do you cook? I freeze on my throat because I'm just like, which answer is correct?
But if he loves you, whatever you make, I don't think he cares. Even if it's sandy rice, sandy, he'll eat it.
Someone actually said to me 2 days ago that you've never cooked for me. And I looked at him and I thought, why are you have a home cooked meal when you come to my house? Because that's your chef. I need you to cook for me. I was like, you do?
But men love that. Yeah. They actually really do. Yeah. You should try it.
I don't know how to cook.
Well, go and learn. Maybe we'll make them stay. Go and learn how to cook.
They don't leave me. Why is it not? Maybe I am the one who's leaving them. So you think that the fact that I don't cook for them is what makes these guys
bored? It could be part of it.
Okay, all the cooking you've been doing, why are you not here with a ring?
Girl, I left.
Okay, who told you I did not leave? Can you imagine this bitch trying to come over my shoulder? She actually said maybe they will stay. Girl.
Go and learn how to cook.
Why should I?
It makes a difference.
I think the time men that I was supposed to live. Oh, nice for them, but I'm not his mama.
No, but they were nurtured in society to be catered to.
Oh, that's very well.
Let me tell you something. You, strong woman. Who's strong woman help? Go and learn how to cook for your man so you can be strong outside and be a woman at home.
Ugh, Choma, I beg. Choma thinks he's reading me right now, but listen, let me just tell you something for a fact. The time that I was supposed to have learned how to cook has passed in my life. Do you understand?
So there's no hope.
Right now, I do have chefs. If I need a home-cooked meal, you will get it.
Okay.
And I'm good in the other department.
Hey.
So what are you talking about, girl? I wear, you know, I wear costumes. You know, I lay down. So, honey, boo.
I mean, I guess you can't have it all, but that works.
Yeah. I mean, but now that you said it, I'm actually thinking maybe I should throw in a cooking class.
Imagine, like, after your costume and the deed is done, you now go and make some stir-fry.
My weave is going to be like stir-fry or shoe after I've worked hard.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not lying. You know that I don't cook and I don't regret it. No matter what you say, I don't care.
But there's certain things that men want and there's certain things that women want.
Nice of you to be the spokesperson for
men.
No,
well, I don't want to be spokesperson.
Nice of you to look out for them.
You know the things that you like and what you want your man to do.
Yeah.
It's like X, Y, Z. Just like you have a list.
If I want my man...
Up your list.
Who told you the list is not updated already? If I want my man to eat, I know what to do. I will get him the food. I don't necessarily have to be in the kitchen. Why
should
I?
It's the sacrifice that they want. That's why I said, even if you give him sand, he'll eat it. It's that sacrifice. He wants to see Toke in the kitchen.
Okay, guys,
cooking.
I'm making a promise. 2024, as long as you come, I mean, maybe you should organize a cooking class.
We'll need to learn together because I'm not the best. I don't have to cook any soup. I can't even cook any soup. So it has to be for both of us.
Well, I like the fact that if anybody might give you stone, you go and eat that stone and you eat the sand and you drink water on top. But I think we should try and learn. Maybe on all these trips we go to.
Yeah.
Should we just
maybe take a look? Yeah. Let's do it. Definitely should.
I think that the man will probably be so shocked.
Yeah.
I just feel like men don't deserve it.
I know what you mean.
I look at their wickedness and I'm just like,
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But they say, like, be the woman that you want to attract. So be the person that you're trying to attract. So if you're on 10 over 10, you'll get 10 over 10.
Guess what? I'm not even trying to attract a man that wants me to be in the kitchen. I'm trying to attract a man that is going to buy that yacht. Let us hire the chef to come on the yacht and cook.
For him knowing that you'll make that sacrifice for him, that's why he's going to buy the yacht for you.
He wants me to be still a chef. He does not need me to be in the kitchen. The man just wants me to just look pretty and spend all his money.
You sure?
Yes. Why does he care? I meet guys who don't care.
What if he didn't have a brain? Like, he wasn't very intelligent. He just had a lot of money.
Would I be with someone who's not intelligent? Should I answer really, really honestly?
You're about to say yes. Oh my God.
If you have enough money to hire people to think for you, why not?
So what kind of conversation are you going to be having with him?
Baby, I will be the one to think for you. Like, I think I can. I think people underestimate the fact that, as they say, the head is the head, the neck is what controls the head. Mm-hmm. Imagine you having a woman, regardless of how intelligent men are, there's a reason why they say who you marry also dictates the kind of life you live. Imagine you having a roller by your side who is like, she can see what you can't see. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, even just like basic conversation, like you want to talk about like Gaza and he's like, baby, what's his Gaza? Like, could you?
To be honest, I don't know if I can. I think when we're going out with our friends, I'll probably just text my friends ahead and be like, guys, keep the conversation light.
Keep it light.
But you know the kind of person I am. They're born now. Well, bring up Gaza. Do you know how this guy's paying all the bills here? Are you crazy? But I talk about what he wants to talk about. See, he wants to talk about the sun is shining. Yes!
Bright!
How bright! You know what I mean? Who has time to be...
Fair enough.
Honestly, I don't think I would date a guy that is not intelligent. I am a sapio. Like, I get turned on by brains as well. Like, I would give anything. Because again, I think it also comes with the fact that I'm a boss in every other aspect of my life. I can't come home and then cater to you mentally again because I'm catering to everyone I'm paying salary. So I need someone that I can look up to as a Scorpio. So I would never be the girl that would date a dumb guy.
Exactly.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I can even stand someone who is not smart. Mm-hmm. I have to learn something
I have to.
I have to be inspired by the man I'm with.
I'm too intelligent to be with a dimwit. I have to learn from you.
Sometimes we even have, I love when I'm dating someone and we have arguments. And it's like we argue passionately about everything, politics, body. This is what I think. That kind of part of my life turns me on.
But guess what? I dated somebody who the relationship was going fantastic. I was falling in love. It was going great. And then we went out with his friends and I was the only girl and it was him or his friends. And we're talking about politics. I think it must have been like maybe PDP, APC or something. And he supported a different political party. It wasn't recent. It was before. And so I gave up, like, you know, obviously my dad is very much into politics and he would tell me and I just knew all these things and like I had like solid points as to why the party that I supported, you know, was supposed to win. And all the guys were like, this girl was intelligent, you know. I got like...
He was jealous.
He just stopped talking to me.
Yeah. Did you watch Fair Play on Netflix?
I did.
You should.
I did.
That made me realise that some of these guys hate us.
Yes.
They do.
Some
of them do.
Your intelligence.
Yeah.
They hate your mental abundance. Mm. They hate your
knowledge. I always say this to guys who are like that. If you are not into an intelligent woman, by all means, date somebody who just wants to talk about Chanel and Dior.
But I think guys not used to like having both. You have a beautiful woman who looks doll-like and has all these fancy things and then you're super intelligent. Do you understand? Yeah. People always assume that. When people are so shocked that I'm intelligent. People are so shocked that I'm a lawyer.
I get that. I mean, they have arguments where they think, oh, he's talking about Kamara, she doesn't see anything. But then when I now meet people and we hold conversations and I flaw them, they're like, wow, you're so intelligent.
Yeah, but it's like, why must I like look terrible,
talking
dress,
to a guy who said to me,
dress
you're so intelligent,
and be ugly to be intelligent? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Gone are the days where like you have to look like a geek to be a geek. I can look the way that I look, dress the way that I dress, and still have a brain that functions. Yeah. You know,
it's
but some guys
that
will resent you for
that.
It.
Yeah, because I am. It's the opposite with me. I have left certain guys because, you know, I just thought, you know, your money is great, but I could tell that you were a street boy and apart from the streetness, there's nothing you and I have in common. Mm-hmm. So while I enjoy the champagne and I enjoy a good time, I can't call you at 3 a.m. when I have real life issues because all you're going to think is, so what are you going to do about it? You ask me, so what are you going to do about four times? Oh, Benny,
can't you find out what I should be doing about it?
Telling me what to do, or you do something
but then,
about it.
But then in this economy, I can't lie to you. If I had to pick between an intelligent, broke guy and a wealthy, dumb guy, I think I'm going to follow the wealthy. I say whatever you want. I promise you. Girl. That's why, you know, we say these things about ourselves. Mm-hmm. That masculine energy that we have, that's the problem. You want to save the world. You want to get them. You should say PDP, APT, VDD. Just focus on your focus.
Focus on my focus. But you know what? Like, I mean, it did teach me a lesson. Of course, like, I'll still be vocal or whatever, but maybe he felt emasculated by the way that I aired my opinion, you know, and it made him look stupid in his head. And
but that's not
that was the end of the relationship.
Though,
I can never be the guy for me. Because guess what? There's sometimes I won't be able to control it. I will have an opinion about general issues, affairs, politics, and that's just it.
Yeah.
You have to just deal with it.
But you can't.
You should be proud of the fact that your girl's intelligent and knowledgeable.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Chuma. And I keep telling you this thing off camera, and I have to say it again on camera. We can't pick and choose the way the world is going now. Look how good that we know that I'm married and have the life that we so kind of desire.
All that glitters is not gold.
It's not good. You have to pick which one is shine to you. If you like me shouting there, I'm a lawyer. I do this, I do that. Oh boy, you're on your own. Sometimes it's okay to let him have that moment. Like sometimes, who cares? Honestly, my 2024 motto, I've said this and I'm saying it again, I'm turning down the masculine energy, soft life. I don't even want to know how to shout.
But you can't help who you are.
I don't know how to, I want to learn.
You can't. It's going to be really hard. It comes from within. That's why everybody cannot be you. Do you understand? Who you are comes from within. Even if you try to be, even if you try to dim your shine or your light or be any dumber than you already are, it will still come back.
Listen, when I see these TikTok videos with these girls that I'm especially married to these Caucasian men, I love their lifestyle of a stay home. I've said I can't be one of these girls. What's the level I can't? That when a guy comes, all I just say is caviar. You know those girls that are softly spoken, that they just like, they can't help it. It's just like, baby, yeah, can you pass the remote, please? Baby, let's order in tonight. Can we have Chinese?
Damsel in distress.
Damsel. Because it's grr. Sometimes it's not working. On that note, I think it's high time we sign off the show. We've talked over and over and over. And this is what it's like, actually. And Chuma can call ourselves and just talk about what's wrong with us. Why are we so intelligent? Why do we want to call? Why do we want to have our voices heard? Sometimes just look away, my sister.
Trust me, we can't help it. It is.
I'm changing
is.
From you, 2024. When you see me, and you see me with the man,
I'll remind you.
No. When you see me with the man, and you're talking about Gaza, and I'm like,
Where's Gaza?
Where's Gaza? Please, just let me play my role. I beg.
Okay.
Don't come on me saying, "Talking, what's wrong with you? Gaza, the strip." Sis, it's a plan.
No problem.
I'm just going to be looking pretty in my
outfit. I'll remind
you. And I'll invite you to my wedding.
Okay,
and
amen.
On that day, please don't come and be arguing with people about law and which country.
If I meet any stupid people, it's going down.
No, I don't want that. I just want us to be happy and drink champagne and just talk about the Amalfi Coast.
Okay,
just
then politics, about, that's fine.
Yeah, right. Thank you guys for sticking with us. This has been such an interesting episode. I've been looking forward to this, actually, and I'm so happy we knocked it out of the park. Guys, chat with you on the next episode of Talk at Moments. Goodbye. Let me have my lip gloss.
You can't even forget this ordinary lip gloss.
I knew it.
Is big girl, big girl like you.
Which big girl?
I've been
giving
gloss.
My Dior gloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.